funky style no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone in the draft. He's in the army now, a blue and reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle funky company bee. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really got him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle by a company bee. A toot, a toot, a tootily addly toot. He plays the eight to the bar. Can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar are playing with us. He makes a company jump when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle by a company bee. He was the boogie woogie bugle by a company bee. When he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a buzz bee. And when he plays, he makes a company jump, hey to the bye. He's a boogie woogie bugle by a company bee. Do 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 la da do do la da do do. He plays the A to the bye.
Isn't she terrific? And now, the Hudson Reed Ensemble presents Tony Palermo's radio adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life. This is the story of George Bailey, an ordinary man who lives in Bedford Falls, New York. But George Bailey, more than anything, wanted to see the world. The exciting world that lay somewhere beyond his hometown. However, our story doesn't begin in Bedford Falls. In fact, it doesn't begin anywhere in this world. It begins in heaven, where the superintendent of angels is briefing an apprentice angel named Clarence. Clarence Oddbody, angel second class, reporting for duty, boss. Are you really sending me down to Earth?
Yes. You see, there's a man in trouble down there. At precisely 10:45 p.m., Earth time, a man named George Bailey will be thinking about ending his life.
Oh, my. And you want me to save him? Well, then, maybe I can finally earn my wings. It's only been 200 years.
Listen, Clarence. You must stop him, if you can. Now, let me brief you about George Bailey's case history. You see, when George was a boy...
Oh, that's okay, Your Honor. All I need is a plan. You see, Your Honor, I've been reading The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Mark Twain, you know. Tom Sawyer always had a plan.
I see. Well, if you can help George Bailey with your plan, Clarence... You just may get your wings.
Yes! Thank you for your confidence in me, boss.
Now, when George Bailey was a boy, his little brother fell through the ice.
And George jumped in to save him.
Yes, but as a result, George has a bad ear.
Oh, sure. The icy water, ear infection.
A few months later, young George was working after school at Gower's drugstore. But on this day, Mr. Gower's only son died of influenza. Devastated, Mr. Gower was trying to drown his sorrow in whiskey when the young George...
George, did you deliver that prescription?
Well, no, Mr. Gower. Why
didn't you deliver that right away? The little Blaine girl's sick. You lost it, didn't you?
No, Mr. Gower, here it is.
Here? Why, you...
Ow! Mr. Gower, my ear! My ear!
You good for nothing, lazy loafer!
Ow! You're hurting my sore ear! No, Mr. Gower! You put something wrong in those pills!
Shut up, you little...
Look, I know you're sad, but you put something bad in these capsules. It's poison!
Poison? Poison? Oh, my God!
Don't hurt my sore ear again, please!
George!
That's why I didn't deliver it! I won't ever tell a soul, Mr. Gower! I won't tell anyone! Hope to die!
Well, George grew up and he wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't enough money. So he worked 4 years at the Bailey Building and Loan Association.
Building and Loan?
Yes. George's father was in the building and loan business, he and George's Aunt Wilma. But it was a case of high ideals and low bank account.
Oh, those two always seem to go together.
George worked for his father and saved enough to pay for college. But first, he was going to summer in Europe, working his way across on a cattle boat.
Gee, it's hard to believe this is my last night in the old Bailey boarding house.
We'll all miss you, George.
I'm gonna miss you too, Ma. And you, Pop. But hey, what's the matter? You look kind of tired.
I had another run-in with Henry Potter today.
Oh, that old money-grubbing buzzard. I thought when you put him on the board of directors, he'd ease up a little bit. I don't understand somebody like Mr. Potter.
Potter owns about everything he wants in town. Everything except the Bailey Building and Loan. Maybe that's why he hates us.
Hey, George, can I borrow your tuxedo cufflinks for tonight's dance?
Sure. Help yourself, Harry.
Well, where are they? Here? In your suitcase? So where'd you get that beat-up old suitcase anyway, George?
At the Emporium, Harry. Mr. Gower bought it for George.
A going-away present?
Yep, far away. You see, one of these days, that bag will be plastered with travel stickers. You know, Rome, Baghdad, Samarkand.
I guess you're going to have a pretty full summer, George.
Oh, I'm going to have a pretty full life.
So why don't you come to the dance tonight?
Nah, I'd be bored to death.
Oh, but what a wonderful death. Well, I gotta run.
Was I like that when I graduated from high school?
Pretty much. I sure wish we could send Harry to college with you, George.
Well, yeah, but Harry can take over my job at the building and loan. Work for 4 years like I did, and then he'll go.
He's pretty young for that job. Maybe you were just born old, George.
How's that, Pop? You know my trick ear.
I said you were born old. George, when you get out of college, you couldn't come back to the building and loan, would you?
Oh, no. Now, Pop, I couldn't face being cooped up for the rest of my life in a shabby little office with all those...
I see.
I'm sorry, Pop. I didn't mean that. But it's just staying here, I just go crazy. You see, I want to do something big, something important.
But in a small way, we are doing something important, George. In that shabby little office, we help people buy their own homes.
I know. But I feel if I didn't get away, I'd just bust.
I guess you're right. Get that education. Then do what you want, son.
You know, Pop, I think you're a pretty great guy.
Well, thanks, George. Look, why don't you go on over to Harry's dance? You'll have fun.
I guess I could drop in. Maybe I will at that. See you later, Pop.
So George went to a dance?
And at that dance, he fell in the pool with Mary Hatch. Later, he was walking her home. They were feeling pretty good, Clarence. As a matter of fact, wonderful.
Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Come out tonight, come out tonight. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight and dance by the light of the moon? Hot dog, eh, Mary?
Well, you sound beautiful, George.
Hey, you know something, Mary? I'd almost say you were the prettiest girl in town. You look wonderful.
Well, why don't you say it?
I don't know. Maybe I will. Hey, how old are you anyway?
18.
18? Why, it seems only last year you were just 17.
Hey, look where we are.
It's the old Granville house.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, George. Even though it's deserted, I love this old place.
With the deserted houses, you make a wish, and then you try to bust a window.
Oh, but it's such a lovely old house. I want to live there someday.
In there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't live there if I were a ghost. Now watch. See that? Busted that window.
Well, what did you wish for, George?
Wish? Oh, I don't know. Not just one wish, Mary. A whole hatful of them. You see, I'm leaving this crummy little town. I want to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, and that's just this summer. And then I'm going back and going to college to see what they know, of course.
Of course.
And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields and bridges a mile long. And then come on, Mary. What is it you want? Do you want the moon? All you got to do is just say the word, and I'll...
Okay. The moon. I'll take it. And then what?
Then what? Then you swallow it, and it dissolves, and the moonbeams shoot out of your fingers, and do you think I'm talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her?
How's that? What's that?
Ah, youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Well, hey, just a minute. Hey, you, come on back here. I'll show you some kissing.
George!
Aunt Wilma, look, George. I'm gonna kiss Mary.
George, get in the car, quick. It's your father. He's had a stroke.
What? What? My father?
Come on, George. Get in. Hurry.
Well, George's father died that night, Clarence. And that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan had a meeting.
Quiet, you. Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Potter?
Now that Peter Bailey is dead, I move that we dissolve the building and loan and turn its assets and liabilities over to a receiver. Quiet! Peter Bailey was not a businessman. Ideals without common sense can ruin this town. And what's that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class. Now, who'll second my motion to dissolve?
Hold on, Mr. Potter.
I meant no disrespect, George, but your father
now,
was...
Now, wait a minute. Why my father ever started this petty Annie building and loan, I'll never know. But just remember this, Mr. Potter. That rabble you're talking about, well, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community.
So?
Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms with a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him. But to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. In my book, Mr. Potter, my father died a richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book, George. I'm talking about the building and loan.
No, you're talking about something you can't get your greedy hands on, and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about. Well, this town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can borrow a few dollars without crawling to Mr. Potter. Come on, Aunt Wilma.
Never.
So what happened, George? Oh, you won't believe it. Boy, oh boy, you should have heard George.
Oh, yeah. Right now they're voting us out of business.
Well, who cares? Will you get out of here, George? You missed your boat trip. Do you want to miss college, too?
George, they just voted Potter down.
Whoopee, we're still in business.
But there's one condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Appoint me? I'm leaving for college right now. No, Aunt Wilma's your gal.
George, you've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise. They said so. Without you...
So, George Bailey didn't make it to college, boss?
No, he didn't, Clarence. George gave his college money to his brother, Harry. Harry went instead.
But what about that girl? You know, Mary.
Oh, George saw her now and again, but Mary also went away to college. And George worked 4 more years at the building and loan, waiting for Harry to finish school, come back, and take over. George still hoped to see the world, though. He planned to work in the oil fields of Venezuela. Except, when Harry came back, he brought a girl with him, a wife.
So, George, how do you like your new sister-in-law?
Ruth? Oh, she's swell. Harry's got all the luck.
She'll keep him on his toes.
Well, keep him out of Bedford Falls, anyway.
Now, now. Ruth's father has a good job for Harry up in Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo. And that means...
Oh, then you can't. I'm sorry, George.
Yeah.
Well, did you know? Mary Hatch is back from college, too. Nice girl, that Mary.
Well, I suppose.
Oh, stop this moping, George. Bailey, it's not like you.
Well, what do you want me to do, Mother?
Give me one reason why you shouldn't go see Mary.
Well, how about Sam Wainwright, for one? Sam's crazy about Mary.
Well, she's not crazy about him. Mary's got her eye on you, George. Besides, Sam Wainwright is in New York.
Okay, Mother. Trying to get rid of me, huh? Well, I think I'll go find a girl and do some passionate necking.
Oh, George!
Good night, Mrs. Bailey. By the way, do you need any books from the library?
Library? George! George, you go and see Mary. Do you hear?
George, what are you doing out there?
What? Oh, me? I was just passing by.
Yes, several times. I wondered if you were picketing or haunting me.
Well, now, why would I be...
Your mother phoned, saying you were coming over.
My mother... phone? Well, I just happened to be passing by, that's all.
Are you coming in or aren't you?
Well, all right. If you insist, I'll come in for a minute.
So, it's nice about Harry and his new wife, isn't it?
Yeah, Ruth, it's okay.
What's the matter, you don't like her?
Well, of course I do. Ruth's a peach.
Oh, it's just marriage in general you're down on, huh?
Well, no. Marriage is all right, for some people, I mean. It's fine for Harry, for Sam Wainwright, and you.
For Sam?
Mary! Mary, who's down there?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
George Bailey? What's he want?
Well, I don't know. What do you want, George?
Me? Nothing. Not a thing.
He's making violent love to me, Mother.
He is! You tell him to go right back home. Sam Wainwright said he'd call tonight from New York.
Well, I guess so, Mother. So, George, how about we play a little music here?
You know, your mother shouldn't be... Oh, that. Well, now, I didn't come over here just to...
Well, what did you come here for?
Well, I don't know. You're supposed to be the girl with all the answers. How about you tell me why?
Well, why don't you just go home?
Okay, I will go home.
Mary! The telephone!
I don't know why I even came here.
Mary!
Good night.
Good night.
Mary! Maybe it's Sam. Answer it!
All right, I'll get it, Mother. Oh, George, on your way out, could you turn off the phonograph?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Stupid song.
Hello, Hatch Residence. Sam?
Hey, Mary. Good to hear your voice.
Excuse me, Mary. I seem to have forgot my hat.
Oh, Sam! How nice of you to call. You know, an old friend of yours is here. George Bailey?
What? Old Mossback George? In person?
Yep. Old Mossback George.
Hee-haw. Well, put old George on. I'm gonna say hi.
Well, wait a minute, Sam. George!
Mary! You idiot! Sam doesn't want to talk to George.
He does, too, Mother. He even asked for George.
What is it, Mary? You see, I'm in a hurry. I've got to get...
Well, wait. It's Sam Wainwright. He wants to talk to you.
Sam Wainwright? Oh, hi, Sam.
Some pal you are. What are you trying to do, steal my girl?
Steal your... Hey, nobody's trying to steal any girl. Mary, here's Sam again.
No, wait a minute, George, wait. I want to speak to both of you. Put Mary on the extension upstairs.
Well, I can't. Mother's on the extension.
I am not!
George, just put your head a little closer. We can both hear. Sam, we're both on the line.
Good. Now, I have a plan that's going to make us all rich. George, remember one time in Martini's Tavern you told me about making plastics out of, chili beans? Soybeans. I mean soybeans.
Oh, yeah. Soybeans. Okay.
Well, my father's investing in it, George. We're going to open a factory. We might even have a job for you. That is, if you're not still married to that broken old down building alone.
We'll have to see, Sam.
Oh, Mary, tell George this is the chance of a lifetime. You hear?
He says it's the chance of a lifetime.
Give me that phone.
George?
Now you listen to me, Mary. I don't want any plastics, any job. And I don't want to get married ever to anyone. Do you understand me?
George.
I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to trick me into any...
George?
Mary. Oh, Mary. I know.
And so, Clarence, George and Mary were married that October. And the two headed off for their honeymoon in Ernie Bishop's taxi cab.
So, where are you two heading on this deluxe honeymoon?
We're shooting the works, Ernie. It'll be the highest hotel, richest caviar, the hottest music, and the prettiest wife.
You're finally getting out of Bedford Falls. Then what?
Gee, I don't know. Then what, dear?
The moon, who cares?
Where's my money?
Hey, George! There's something going on at the bank! A run, looks like!
What? Pull over, Ernie!
Oh no, George, let's not stop! Please, Ernie, just go straight to the train station! George, don't!
Wait a minute, honey. I gotta see what this is. I'll be back in a second.
No, George, please don't go! George, don't go!
We'll return to our Hudson Reed Ensemble radio theater presentation of It's a Wonderful Life in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Brill Cream, the Swank Hair Tonic, makes your filthy bird's nest clean. A little dab will do ya, all the pretty gals will scream. Not only will dames love it, your barber will shout out with glee. Brill Cream, the Swank Hair Tonic, your dandruff will be history.
Thank you, Jingle Sisters. And now, Act Two of Hudson Reed Ensemble's radio presentation of It's a Wonderful Life. In heaven, the superintendent of angels is still reviewing George Bailey's case history. Clarence, an apprentice angel, is eager to depart for his mission to Earth.
Goodness, boss! I've heard enough background. If George Bailey's contemplating suicide, I'd better head down there right away.
Hold it, Clarence. We're not anywhere near the point where George Bailey is thinking of taking his life. Now, where were we?
George and Mary were heading out of town on a honeymoon when they ran into a run. A bank run, I mean.
Ah, yes. It was the financial panic of 1932. You see, bank troubles were very prevalent back then.
Whoa! What's going on, boss?
In the lobby of the building and loan, dozens of worried shareholders were clamoring for their savings. Meanwhile, George found Aunt Wilma in her office.
It's a bank panic, George! The bank had a run! They needed cash, so they demanded we pay off our loan immediately! I handed over all our cash. I had to.
You handed over all our cash? But that means...
The whole town's gone nuts, George. How? Now we're in the same pickle as the bank.
But our charter requires we stay open until 6 p.m. If we don't, the state can take our license away.
Stay open until 6? Without any money?
Oh, come on. Let's see that crowd out there. Okay. Okay. Hold on now, please. Please, 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 everybody, don't panic!
We want our money, George. Yeah. Where's our money?
Yeah. Come on, everybody, wait just a minute. Now, you've got it all wrong. Your money isn't here.
What?
Well, just a minute, let me explain. Your money's not here. It's not in the safe. No, the money you've invested in the building and loan was put into people's houses. It's in Ernie's house. and your house, and 100 other houses. Do you want me to foreclose on them? Throw them out of their homes?
I got $242 in shares here. Close my account. I want my money, now.
Okay, Charlie. Okay, sign this form. You'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
What do you mean, 60 days?
Well, that's what you all agreed to when you bought your shares.
Ha! I got my money.
Where'd you get your money, Randy?
Old man Potter's taken over the bank. He'll pay 50 cents on the dollar for your shares.
Oh, yes. Come on, let's take our shares to Potter. Half is better than nothing.
Wait! Oh, come on, please, folks. Don't do this. Stop! Listen. If Potter gets a hold of the building and loan, there won't be a decent house built in this town again. Can't you see? He's just taken over the bank. He's already got the bus line, the department store, and now he's after us. He wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the rent he decides.
That's a lot of fine talk, George, but I've got doctor's bills to pay.
My wife got laid off.
We can't just feed our kids on faith.
George! George, darling!
Hey, Mary!
How much do they need? We still have some money. The honeymoon money.
Yeah. Wait, folks! I've got $2,000 here! Okay, so we've got some cash. All right, Charlie. How much do you need?
$242.
Come on, Charlie. How about just enough to tide you over?
I want my $242.
Okay, Aunt Wilma, give Charlie here $242. Okay, all right, Mr. Davis now.
$17 then.
Oh, thank you. Okay, who's next now? Let's try to spread it out. There's enough for everyone.
I was in line all day. Look at the clock, George, look!
I'm looking, Aunt Wilma, I'm looking. 5 seconds, 4 seconds, Three, two, one.
6 o'clock. Oh, yeah, we need it.
Lock the door. Lock that door. Still in business, even if we only got $2 left. Okay,
George,
Aunt Tilly.
George, telephone.
Oh, huh. Oh, but by the way, call my wife, will ya? I forgot all about going on.
Mrs. Bailey's on the line.
Well, no, I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want Mrs. Bailey. Wait, Mrs. All right, that is my wife. Give me the phone already, will ya? Hello, is this Mrs. Bailey?
Yes, this is Mrs. Bailey.
Well, Mary, we survived. I'm sorry.
Now that you're done saving things, come home. Come home.
Home? What home?
Our home.
What?
Our home, George, at 320 Sycamore.
320 Sycamore? Whose home is that?
Our home.
Huh?
Head.
But Mary, how can we have
a... Right now.
Right now? Okay, sure, all right, sure.
I love you.
I love you too, honey. I'm coming home.
Clarence, do you know where 320 Sycamore was?
His mother-in-law's house.
No, it was the old Granville house, where George and Mary threw rocks and made wishes. You see, her wish was to marry George and live in the Granville house. And that's where they honeymooned. That's where they set up house, and that's where they were still living 2 years later, when Mr. Potter asked George to drop by his office.
Now, George, I suppose you're wondering why you're here.
I have no idea, Mr. Potter, but I'm sure you do.
Now look, you're a young man, 27, 28, married, making what? $40 a week?
45.
Okay, 45. And if you were a common, ordinary yokel, I'd say you were doing well. However, you're no common, ordinary yokel, son. You're an intelligent, resourceful, ambitious young man who hates his job. Yes, you hate the building and loan almost as much as I do, George. You've been dying to get out of this town ever since you were born. You see your friends, your brother, go places. While you're trapped here, trapped into frittering away your life, playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Is this a correct picture, George, or do I exaggerate?
So, what's your point, Mr. Potter?
My point is that I want to hire you, George.
Hire me? To do what?
To manage my affairs, oversee my properties, and I can start you off at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year? Are you sure you're talking to me? I'm George Bailey, remember? The building and loan George Bailey?
Yes, the George Bailey whose ship has just come in, provided he has the brains to climb aboard.
Yes, but what about the building and loan?
Forget the building and loan. I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year. Do we have a deal or what?
No. No, I can't do it. If you offered me $1 million to stay in Bedford Falls, to be your stooge, the answer would still be no. Now, let me out of here.
You fool.